As the Trump administration continues to attempt to reunite families separated under the short-lived zero-tolerance policy at the border, we continue to hear the stories of immigrants who were caught in the middle. Arizona Republic reporter Kayla White recently retold one woman's story, outlined in court documents that are part of the lawsuit filed by 17 states in the District of Columbia against the Trump administration over its family separation policy. In the filings, the woman is only identified as WR, and she explains how she was apprehended by Border Patrol agents and separated from her 9-year-old son. I spoke with White about this, more about this, earlier this morning.
She came from Brazil in May with her 9-year-old son. She was fleeing, she says, domestic violence. So she says her husband has held her at gunpoint. He's held her and her son at knife point. And she says he wants her son, who's only 9, to start selling drugs. So she felt it was time to flee. So she comes here and they walk across the border for, I think she says, about 2 hours. And then they see a Border Patrol agent and they surrender to him. And so, you know, that's where this all starts. The agent is speaking to them in Spanish. They don't speak Spanish. They speak Portuguese. Mm-hmm. So off the bat, you know, you can imagine this is a confusing experience. They get apprehended and they're taken to a facility somewhere in Arizona, but she's not sure where, which is a common theme among a lot of these immigrant accounts in these lawsuits, that they know maybe what state they're in, but they're not quite sure which facility. Mm-hmm. But we know the first facility is always Customs and Border Patrol facility. And she says as soon as she gets there that her and her son are separated.
Immediately,
which is kind of surprising. Some people are, you know, it's a couple days go by. They're separated and no one explains to her why. And so she's just immediately shocked. So then she's in this Customs and Border Patrol facility somewhere in Arizona for, she says, 10 days. And those facilities are not designed to hold people overnight. So usually people will stay for, it's supposed to be 72 hours. But she says it was 10 days that she was sleeping on a concrete floor with bright lights on. The only food she was given was a cup of noodles. But oftentimes she wasn't given hot water. She says that there was, you know, one bathroom, but that there was a camera facing the bathroom, and so she felt uncomfortable using it.
And she wasn't the only one there either, right?
No.
This was many, many women in this one facility?
Yeah, she says it was a 15-foot by 15-foot cell that she imagined was designed for about 20 people, and she said there were 90.
Wow.
Yeah, so packed in there with a ton of women. And, you know, she has a complaint that we've seen a lot in Yuma, so it's possible to imagine it might have been Yuma, that they were never given water, and there was only a sink they could drink out of next to the toilet, but also that they are never given soap to wash their hands. So 10 days go by, and she's just cupping her hands to drink water out of a sink that tastes like it's been bleached.
I want to back up for a second and talk
sure.
more about when her son was taken away from her. You
sure.
said it happened real quickly after she was apprehended. And she described this in the court paperwork afterward as what you put in the headline. This was the worst thing that ever happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like when he was taken away?
Well, she says immediately after our arrival, my son was taken away. Officers led me to my cell. I took his hand and tried to bring him with me. The officer stopped me and abruptly took him away. He was crying and calling out for me, but the officer quickly removed him. And she says, quote, everything occurred so fast, I was very confused. So I think not only is there the shock of being separated, but also just really having no idea what's going on. You know, from what we've heard, most of these immigrants didn't know that zero tolerance was in effect.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know that they were going to be separated from their child. So especially, you know, with your 9-year-old son, it was shocking. And she says at one point, she could see the other part of the facility where he was held. If they both stood at the front of the cells, they could see each other, but they couldn't hear each other. And she said she could just see him crying.
And after that, they were separated much further than in two different cells, right? He was
mm-hmm.
taken somewhere else and she was taken somewhere else. And there seems to be like a series of facilities they were each taken to.
Yeah. So after, I think she says 2 days, they were allowed to meet up and hug for a moment. I believe they took her out of the cell for just that period so that she could hug him goodbye. And then he was taken. And so she didn't talk with him for, I believe, 20 days after that.
Did she know where he had gone?
No, not at all.
So when they finally were able to talk, it was over the phone, right? And
mm-hmm.
does she know where he is or was?
So at that time, yeah, they were able to talk on the phone, but she says that someone was monitoring his conversation. So we can only imagine it was, you know, either a caseworker or someone who works at one of these childcare facilities. But they said, or she said, that person wouldn't let him tell her where he was, what state he was in. He was only allowed to say he was okay and that he had a bed. And she says if he said anything else, the worker actually took the phone away. So she really didn't know much much beyond the fact that her son was alive and apparently okay.
She has been released from custody at this point, right? How did that happen?
Yeah, so she was able to contact her brother, and her brother was able to pay her bond, which was $7,500. And so upon her release, she still had to work for a while to try to contact the facility where her son was held. I believe it was about a month after they had been originally separated that she was able to figure out where he was and was told that she had to apply to be his sponsor, which is something we've heard a lot about as well. It's not just that you're a parent, you have to prove all these other things about who you are, what your background is, who you're living with, who's in the house where you're living, etc. So, you know, that started this really arduous process that she describes in great detail about trying to get fingerprinted and, you know, being told, oh, the next appointment is 2 weeks from now, or everyone in your entire house, your brother's house, has to get fingerprinted, etc.
As a reporter and as you're sort of covering this story, we've heard so much about the politics around this, so much about the policy around this. Why do you think it's important to just write a story that is documenting this account?
For weeks, when we were trying to learn about these separated families, it was impossible to learn even the simplest detail. For example, where are these people? How many people are there? How long are they being held? Are there children in this building? Very, very simple questions, which is astonishing to me. I had never come up against something that difficult to figure out in my career. So it's important to me to be able to document history, basically, to say, okay, well, this is at least what people are saying they're experiencing, particularly with these court filings. It's in such a great volume. So even though it seems like maybe a one-off here and a one-off there, I think it's very important to see them as a whole picture that can paint what happened in this very short period of time. It was, you know, this policy was only in effect for 2 months. Mm-hmm. But even though for many of us, it's 2 months and it's only, you know, about 2,000 families. For these 2,000 families, it was the worst thing they've ever experienced in their life.
Kayla White is a reporter with the Arizona Republic. Kayla, thank you so much for coming in to talk about this.
Thank you for having me.
The court paperwork, including WR's story, was filed in late June. And at that point, she was living in Massachusetts with her brother. And she said she was in contact with her son. But as of that point, she and her attorneys had not been able to get her released, her son released to her.